Thank you, Stephen, for the invitation. Before moving forward, I like to gratefully acknowledge all my co-authors for their contribution to this presentation. In this presentation, I'll try to give a brief introduction about the cover crops, and then I'll talk the small grain breeding program at the Noble Foundation, and finally, I'll try to give some perspective about the cover crop breeding. Cover crop is planted primarily to manage soil erosion, soil fertility, weeds, pests, and diseases. Cover crop is not a new concept. Traditionally, farmers used to use cover crops in their farming system. But due to the pressure of monoculture of cash crops, the use of cover crops are almost forgotten. So due to recent emphasis on the sustainability issues, the cover crop is re-emphasized, and there is a lot of importance on the cover crop. So farmers choose to grow and manage specific cover crops based on their own needs and goals. Choice of cover crop largely influenced by the biological, social, environmental, cultural, and economic factors. One of the main use of cover crop is to protect soil. So due to monoculture, there is a big gap between harvesting of the crop and replanting of this crop. And during this time, the soil is mostly uncovered. As a result, soil erosion is a big problem. So biomass from the cover crop is a physical barrier between the rainfall and the soil surface, thus physically slow down the velocity of rainfall and thus reduce the soil erosion. On the other hand, the cover crops, when covered the entire soil, it can also reduce the wind erosion. And cover crop roots network help anchor the soil in place. So that is one of the great advantages of growing cover crops. And the other thing is the improving the soil fertility. Especially when the cover crops are incorporated in the soil, it improves the soil organic matter. Impact of cover crop on nitrogen management has received the most attention, and that is the reason legumes particularly has a lot of importance used as a cover crop. It can also increase the soil carbon sequestration. So the cover crops increase soil porosity, creating sustainable habitat for soil microfauna. And this soil microfauna enhances the production of many cash crops. Another important thing is to weed control. So effective and environmental friendly system for controlling weeds and reducing tillage. When cover crop biomass shade the soil and intercept the lights, thus it inhibiting the germination and growth of wheat seedlings. On the other hand, cover crop is laid as mulch in no-till or minimum tillage system can enhance wheat control for the following crop. And due to this mulch, cover crop releases natural products into the soil that surpasses the wheat seed germination and growth. This is commonly known as allelopathic effect of cover crops. It also helps in better water management. The cover crop root growth results formation of soil pores, which provides pathway for water to filter through the soil pores. Thus, it increases the soil infiltration, the potential for soil water storage, and recharging the aquifers can be improved. So cover crop contain a large amount of moisture in it. So when incorporated in the soil or left on the soil surface, it often increases the soil moisture. On the other hand, when used as mulches, it covers the soil, thus reduces soil evaporation. For growing cover crops, several points need to be considered. One of the most important things that it needs to have more benefits than expenses. So several points need to be considered as which crop, cover crop, is the most appropriate. Farmers have their own issues, and all the social, cultural, and the production factors are responsible for the choice of cover crop. From the first speaker, I already saw that a number of species can be used as a cover crop, but which one will be the most appropriate depends on the farmer's choice. And it must contribute to overall system. It's not only the cover crop, but following cash crop and overall farming system are the reasons for determining the cover crop. So whether the cover crop provides the same benefit as the rotation or with only commercial crops is also an important determinant. So far I know there are very less emphasis on breeding cover crops in the country, but there are a lot of interest now growing all over the country to breed better cover crops for the farmers. Choice of cover crops can be divided into three parts. First place is the conservation agriculture with cover crops should leave a lot of residue on the soil surface which decomposes slowly. And for this purpose, the grasses are the ideal because all the grasses has high CN ratio, thus decompose slowly. An aggressive and abundant rooting system that improves the soil fast. So at the initial stage of adopting cover crops, grasses have some advantage. In the following years, when the soil shows a better healthy appearance, then legumes are the better choice because legumes usually has high nitrogen, so low in CN ratio. When the system is established, then cover crops with economic function will be better choices. Here I am just reading a quote from a panel of Iowa farmers, agronomists, and soil conservationists. The cover crop such as rye, wheat, and clover are environmentally beneficial and with proper management won't inhibit yield of various crop production systems, including no-till and organic farming. So, especially for the organic farming, cover crops has a lot of beneficial effects. Now, I'm telling about the cover, like the small grain breeding program at the Noble Foundation. Noble Foundation started the breeding of small grains in early 1950s, and the crops of choice is primarily rye. Later, we also adopted wheat, oat, critically as the important small grain species in our breeding program. I apologize that breeding small grains for cover crop was not our primary intention. We mainly breed small grains for forage. But there are several traits we consider in our breeding program also applicable for its use as cover crops. So here I am just telling some of those. Small grains is an integral part of our agriculture because forage production is an important contributor to the agriculture income in the southern Great Plains. Ranchers and livestock producers have used small grains for high potential, high protein pastures. And during early fall winter, farmers didn't have much choice for grazing animals. So though At the beginning of the small grain breeding program, our main emphasis is to develop cultivars which are good for late forage, but due to this reason, we shift our breeding programs towards developing cultivars for early fall forage. And the grazing animals during fall-winter season greatly enhances animal weight gain. Here is a brief outline of our breeding program. We normally started selecting parents from the local adapted ones, and we mainly looked for the different trials conducted in the region and selected parents from there. And then we planted these parents in the greenhouse and made the F1s. But for most of our advancement, we didn't go with these F1s. We usually use the second year of this F1 to make three-way or double crosses, and then move forward with this three-way or double cross material. So at the beginning, we normally don't do any kind of selection. So until F4, we mainly just grow and bulk those. And in the F5, we started selection. Then eventually we go for hetero and progeny row selection. Eventually we go for preliminary yield trial, advanced yield trial, statewide trials, and finally select the ones which have potential to be released as a new cultivar. Here I am presenting some of the advantages of our four small grains. Rye has the quick fall and winter growth, and it has the most cold tolerant and least water requirement. That is the reason rye has the most emphasis in our breeding program. And all these characteristics are equally important for use of rye as cover crop. So that's I found that the breeding program we are doing somehow fit with the use of rye as a cover crop. Critically, it has high biomass yield, and it performs extremely well in marginal soil. So when we compare the wheat and triticale in marginal soil, we saw a clear advantage of triticale in the region. And it has also large stems. That is another advantage for using as a forage. Wheat has great potential for pasture, and it has the best use as dual purpose use. Mainly in the eastern Oklahoma, the use of dual-purpose wheat is increasing systematically. And the farmers used to graze the wheat at the beginning of their season, and during the jointing stage, they stop grazing and allow for grain production. So this dual-purpose system makes the wheat a popular choice for our farmers. Oats has the best fall forage potential. But one of the main disadvantages for oats in our region, the germplasm we are dealing with doesn't have the cold tolerance. Due to this reason, we didn't get any forage during the winter months. That is one of the disadvantages for growing oats in our region. Besides, barley yellow dwarf disease is another problem for growing oat in the region. Here I am showing some of the advantages of our small grains. These are mainly planted for forage, and usually we plant during the mid-September. And here, after 7 consecutive years of evaluation in 2 Oklahoma locations, we found that rye has the best potential with the yield difference, and followed by triticale. And wheat and triticale has pretty similar yield, and oat has least production. If we look at the distribution of yield, as you can see, during the fall forage, oat has the specific advantage, but during the winter time, oat didn't produce anything. Our winter didn't able to kill the oats in the field, but it goes on completely dormant, so there is no yield of oat during the winter months. On the other hand, rye, fairly productive during the fall and best production during the winter. So that makes rye as the best choice for in our region. So wheat and triticale work pretty similar, but winter forage of triticale has some advantage over wheat. As I mentioned, compared to all the four small grains growing in our region, rye has the best potential as cover crop. Rye is also used as cover crop in other areas of USA. And Rance Abruzzi rye, widely used as a cover crop in southern USA. So rye cultivars with combination of biomass and allelopathic traits can be used as cover crops. And attempts need to be directed towards breeding of rye varieties for use as cover crops. Here are some of the cultivars released from the Nobel Foundation in the past. So it started with Elbon in 1956, and recently we released two cultivars, Maton 2 and Bayer's RS4. Maton 2 is marketed through the Oklahoma Genetics Inc., and the Bayer's RS4 is marketed through the Athens Seed Company. Here are some of the characteristics. As I told before, that in past, like Maton, Elbon are the two early release, and at that time, our main focus on the total forage yield, and those are mainly late growing cultivars. But our recent emphasis is on early fall forage, and that's why you can see that Oaklawn Maton 2 has fairly high yielding during the early fall forage. And more than 50% of the total production is mainly in early fall forage. And the total yield is also higher than the other rye cultivars grown in the area. Bates RS4 is our newest release. We released it in 2012 and developed mainly for fall winter forage. As I mentioned that early fall forage is also the main advantage, and you can see a large portion of the total forage is mainly produced during the early fall forage. Another important species is the breeding of wheat, and wheat has the advantages that good potential for pasture, silage and hay production, and best potential for dual purpose use. And among the wheat lines, we just released a new wheat line, NF101, so which is mainly released in 2014. And this is a hard red winter wheat with excellent fall winter forage potential, and tall with average lotting resistance on compact seed head. The best part of this one, especially important as also a forest crop, also a cover crop, is that it has pretty good resistance in powdery mildew. In 10 years of evaluation, I never see any infection of powdery mildew in our NF101. And it also performs very good under drought conditions. All these are good attributes as a forage, also as a cover crop. Here, the yield advantage, and as you can see, for the rye, like rye, it also had the advantage for early fall winter forage. And more than 50% of the total production is basically comes from the early fall winter forage. We also released one triticale cultivar, and as I specifically mentioned, that triticale has the best advantage of growing in marginal soil. And it is also fairly tolerant to different diseases compared to wheat. That makes triticale a better choice as a forage crop as well as a cover crop. This is our newest release of oat cultivar, the Heavy Grazer 2. and it is marketed by the East Texas Seed Company. And as you can see, Heavy Grazer 2 also have a better fall winter forage and total forage. My previous two speakers already talked about the importance of seed production and seed cost. And one of the main important things for breeding cover crop is that we need to minimize the seed cost, and for that one, seed production is very important. But it also comes with other drawbacks. Specifically, when we breed for early fall winter forage, usually these are early maturing crops, and early heading is negatively associated with low seed yield. So compared to the grain type crops, our cultivars usually has less seed yield. But there are many ways to minimize this seed yield. Through agronomic practices, we can increase the seed rate per acre, or minimizing the planting time to get the maximum seed yield. So for the cover crop breeding, very little research, as I mentioned, has development focus on cover crop breeding. So breeding efforts need to be focused on resolving practical challenges of growing cover crops. And some of the challenges include the rapid establishment and in field after planting. So this gives a rapid cover of the ground, and it helps preventing the soil erosion. And the faster growth and good ground cover. The tolerance of abiotic stress, as I mentioned, for some of our breeding lines or cultivars developed, has specific stress, abiotic and biotic stress tolerance, which is also important for considering small grains for use as cover crops, and good seed production potential, as I mentioned earlier. So, in brief, the more research need to be conducted for the cover crop variety development. Here I am just telling one experiment conducted my co-author Patricio in University of Florida. They used the cover crops common base, hairy base, red clover, white clover, rye, wheat theoretically, and the cash crop they used as peanut. They planted the cover crop in November 2014, and the cover crop was terminated and peanut was established in May 2015, and peanut was harvested in October 2015. And the traits considered is cover crop yield, which is measured at cover crop incorporation in May 2015. Then the other important trait is the cover crop coverage in a visual score of 0 to 100%. And then the main crop, the peanut yield. And they also counted the nematode in the field multiple times. Here is the cover crop yield. And as you can see, for the small grains, they are much more productive than the other legume species used in the trial. For the ground cover, rye and wheat, both under infested condition and non-infested condition, showed significantly better coverage compared to the all other species evaluated in the experiment. On the main crop yield, we really didn't see a huge difference, but due to some reason, the infested plots showed better yield than the non-infested plants. We really don't know the reason for that. So when they counted the nematode infestation, as you can see, this one is the time when they mainly counted the number of nematode. And you can see there is a huge infestation during the May of 2015 just before the termination of the cover crop. And one important thing I want to show, all the three small grains are used has least nematode infestation, and that is a great characteristic for all these small grains. So in summary, cover crop can manage soil erosion, soil fertility, weed, pest, and diseases. Small grains are well established in the southern Great Plains. Noble Foundation has an active small grain breeding program, and small grains, especially rye, has the great prospect as a cover crop. Special attention needs to be paid for breeding small grains as cover crops. As I mentioned, in the past, very little attention has been paid for breeding crops for special use as cover crops, and it needs some specific traits to fix in the breeding program for its utility as a cover crop. With this, I gratefully acknowledge the people in my group and in Noble Foundation and outside the Noble Foundation, and I'm grateful to Noble Foundation for funding of this project. And with this, thank you.
We have time for a number of questions.
Yes, please.
You said when you're breeding the small grains, you recross the F1 to a new parent or back to a recurrent parent?
Mainly recurrent parent, but sometimes we also use new parents.
What benefit do you get of that over a single crop?
So usually, like in the three-way cross, one of the things I want to mention here, like, especially for the wheat, as wheat has both hard red type and the soft red type. Though we are mainly growing, mainly breeding wheat for forest type, but we need to maintain a minimum standard for the grain quality. Otherwise, it won't go to the farmers. So for that one, the soft red type has the best forest quality, and hard red has the best grain quality. So we normally maintain the hard red, soft red crosses, and we usually go for the hard red recurrent parent crossing to increase the grain quality. So that is the reason, like, we mainly go for the three-way cross and the double crosses. Yes, sir.
Do you have data showing the amount of variation, say, in ryegrass for root mass, or has anyone collected any data on phenotypic or genetic variability for root mass, and how would you propose to them?
That's a great question, and about the root mass. So it's a very important trait to be considered for breeding, but also very difficult to phenotype. And that is the reason most of the breeding program doesn't have root traits in their selection criteria. But as cover crops, recently a lot of emphasis on the root traits. And in the foundation, we are also trying to develop the high-throughput phenotyping system for root characteristics also. And this is one of the traits we are mainly considering for our future breeding program. But until now, to be honest, like, we have little emphasis on the traits. Yes, please.
You've been selecting for fall growth for breeding purposes. Do you think that would affect your winter survival of these small grains?
Yeah, the question is, we are mainly selecting for fall growth. Will it affect the winter survivability? So whatever we observed, it didn't affect the survivability of winter, but sometimes it affects the heading, as it usually head a little bit early. In case of late frost, usually we get white heads. So that is one of the problems we observed But other than that, on the establishment, we really didn't see any problem of winter survival.
Test that in some place other than Oklahoma?
Yeah, we tested in mainly in the southern, but we didn't go for north. So we tested in Texas, Louisiana, and sometimes in Georgia, Florida also.
Okay.